I'm not going. What do you mean you're not going? I'm not going. She said, give me two very good reasons why you're not going. He said, I can give you two good reasons why I'm not going. He said, number one, he said, if I'm honest, I don't really like anybody at church. And two, I don't think they like me either. She said, what? He said, you give me two good reasons why I should go. She said, well, one, you're 54 years old, and two, you're the pastor. I like that one. You're the pastor. Last week, those of you who are here, Linda was speaking last week, and we were particularly focusing, weren't we, on the cross. All that the cross, well, when I say all that the cross means, that's a funny statement to make, isn't it, really? Because I'm not sure any of us can always ever get to that point where we sort of think, yeah, I know what all that the cross means. It's just a little bit like a diamond, I always think, the cross. You know, depending on how you look at it, you see different colors. And there's many different ways of looking at that there. It's a strange thing, actually, isn't it, to think about in terms of the cross. You know, why we, I mean, how many of us here wear a cross? Any of you wear a cross or keep a cross in your bag? I've got a really nice olive wood cross at home that sometimes I just carry around. But, you know, I mean, the cross is a form of Roman torture and a macabre thing in a way. You know, I don't think anybody here, has anybody here got an axe around their neck at all? Anybody? Anybody got a needle, a lethal injection needle around their neck? Anybody got a noose, little shape of a noose? Have you got one of those, Johnny? No? The gallows. You've got the gallows around your neck, have you, or something like that? You know, all the different ways of killing people. We don't wear all those, do we? Well, why is society, much of our society, obsessed with this structure, this shape? I suppose it's got to be, hasn't it? It's got to be something to do with somebody who was crucified on there, isn't it? I mean, there were thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. You know, why that particular young Jewish leader who was only 33 years old? Why do we relate to that so much? It's an interesting question, isn't it? And I think one of the things that Linda said that I think was really helpful last week is you don't actually have to understand everything about the cross for it to have an impact on your life. Is that true? Do you know that for yourself? You know, we could all sort of say to each other here, oh, give me five things that you understand about the cross. Some of us might be able to do that. Others of us, we think, well, no, I can only think of one thing. But I'd know that that has impacted my life. I know that it's changed my life. Is that right? You know, I don't understand how mobile phones work. Does it? I mean, there might be a few geeky people here who, you know, Peter, for example. I mean, you see, well, you are Pete. I mean, you just seem to know everything about iPhones, don't you? Eh? Hey? I mean, last night was scary. Last night there was somebody at the party that we went to last night who was trying to show Linda how she could find me wherever I was using the mobile phone. And I thought, that's scary, that, isn't it? You know, I mean, I quite like escaping from Linda sometimes and just, you know, where have you been? Well, I'm not telling you. Hey, the chance would be a fine thing. I remember those days when I used to go to booths. Now, I don't understand. I mean, it always amazes me, you know, when you pay for something and then ping, about 3 milliseconds later, it comes up, you know, Amex has just paid or something. You think, I know a little bit about science, but I know that when you do something on your phone, it has to go to that mass there or something. Then it has to go to a satellite in space. Then it has to come back down from the satellite in space, back to another mast, and then back to your phone. And that all happens like that. It's incredible, isn't it? I don't understand how it all works. But that doesn't mean I can't use my phone, does it? You know, and you might not understand everything about this and about about the life of Jesus and things, but it doesn't mean it can't have an impact on your life. And you can't say, Lord, I don't understand everything about this, but I want you to impact my life. Where's our little microphone here again? Is this on, Josh? So, one thing, though, I do know about this is this one. I came across this the other day. Remember this one? I love this song. Power of Love. Who wrote that one? Huey Lewis. You see, you do know it, don't you? Huey Lewis and the News. The Power of Love. One thing today, just a little thing. If you forget everything else I say today, which is quite possible, this is about the power of love. It's not about the love of power. You say that with me? This is about the power of love. It's not about the love of power. It's quite profound, that, isn't it? N.T. Wright. There you go, John. Linda mentioned N.T. Wright last week. It's the power of love. It's not the love of power. There's such a huge difference in that, isn't there? You know, our world in which we live this season, often a lot of the stories and a lot of the struggles that we see in world politics, it's about power, isn't it? And it's about domination. It's about controlling people. And if you know nothing else about what this means, it is about the power of love, not about the love of power. And that was what confused many of the disciples, of course, in Jesus' time. You know, it's very hard for us, as some of us might have some kind of Jewish background, but most of us haven't. And if we transport ourselves back 2,000 years ago to try and imagine what was going on in the culture there amongst the people. They'd been occupied for so long. They'd been dominated by the Romans and various other people for so long. And they were looking for somebody who was going to kick their heads in and come back with power so that they could be a people of pride again. And so when Jesus came and started to talk about this new kingdom, they were getting excited. They were fizzing with it. Wow, somebody's come who's finally going to beat up the Romans and we're going to be free again. And that was what was in their imagination and mind. And when Jesus started talking about the kingdom, you know, that's just what they were thinking of. They were thinking of a kingdom of power that would control society again and rule. But of course, the more that they started to listen to Jesus, and by the time he was led to that cross, they were very, very confused. What is happening? We weren't expecting this. This is not the kind of kingdom we were thinking of. Jesus was talking about a kingdom of love, not power control. Do you understand that? And that's very important for us here. Now, of course, the cross, what else does it represent? I mean, you can look at the cross and you can think about things to do with forgiveness, can't we? Jesus himself on the very cross spoke to those others and said about forgiving. Father, forgive them. They don't understand what is going on here. There's things to do with forgiveness. Of course, there's things to do with the nature of sin and all that. I don't understand a lot of those things. Stuart was talking a little bit a few weeks ago about the whole concept of what sin is. It's something very, very difficult to get your head around when we start to think of the details of it. And something of the cross, something there was going on about dealing with sin. It was. What else was going on here? Suffering, and the nature of suffering, God himself suffering, you know, was going on there. What are the things, when you look at that, just think for a moment yourselves, just what do you think of when you look at that? Maybe the word reconciliation comes to mind. That was going on there. In some mysterious way, and I don't understand it, somehow in the death of Christ, there was a victory, which was the other bizarre thing for the people, wasn't it? They couldn't kind of get their heads around that. How can death of a young Jewish leader, 33 years old, how could that be victorious in some way? What was going on in terms of these powers and stuff? Now, over Christmas, obviously, we were dealing with the Narnia story, and those of you who came, you know, we started to talk about deep magic, didn't we? We talked about the queen, you know, the witch, you know, killing Aslan on the stone table, and she thought she was winning. But actually, there was a deeper magic going on. In fact, I was talking to Aslan the other day. He's here with us this morning. And I found it yesterday in Beals in Southport, and I thought, I've got to get him for next year. Because, of course, we're going to be doing Narnia again. Now, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, let's just draw a line today and say, look, you're not going to hear about Narnia anymore. You know, some of you are thinking, I'm fed up listening to Narnia and stuff. But, yeah, he wants to leave it until next year. But look, it'll be great, though, with the younger children, won't it? You know, maybe the 5 or 6-year-olds, telling them a little bit about Narnia again. I don't understand what was going on the cross, and I'm sure none of us can get to the heart of what was going on in terms of Jesus conquering the powers of hell and Satan. But that was going on there as well, wasn't it? You know, there was a power struggle going on, and although it looked like loss and defeat, it was actually victory on the cross there. That was going on. Sacrifice, obviously, of that whole principle of laying down your life for somebody else. That was going on there, wasn't it? You know, greater love. You can't show greater love than that, than to lay down your own life for someone else. That was going on there as well. You see, I think one of the things that I've realized just over the last maybe 5, 10, 15 years is that things that I was taught when I was very young that were very black and white and very simplistic and stuff, they're not actually like that. There's a much richer, deeper seam going on through a lot of these things. I suppose, and maybe you're with me on this one, but certainly for me when I was a child growing up, when people spoke about the cross, it was almost simplified to the point of, this is a ticket to heaven, and you need this ticket. Now, does anybody else relate to that? You know, sort of this heaven, this hell, but you need a ticket to get to heaven, and this is your ticket. And it was almost, I mean, perhaps I'm being a little bit unfair. I hope not. But a lot of the emphasis, I think, on certainly in the Western church, over the last couple of centuries, has often been that kind of view to the cross, that it's almost, you need to believe in Jesus so you've got some ticket to get out of here. Almost like an escape plan. Now, I know there's an element of truth in that concept and in that thing, but I think we're living in an age and a generation now where we need to emphasize other parts of the cross too. That the cross is about not escaping, but about a new kingdom. And that when we're talking about what is going on here, what we're talking about is transformation. Transformation of our lives, but why? Why are our lives being transformed? Just so we can hop on a bus and get to heaven as soon as we can? Let's just get out of here and get away from this mess as soon as we can? That was not the message of Jesus, was it? That was not why Jesus came. Jesus came to bring in a new kingdom. a transformed people is designed to transform the world in which we live. And I hope you're starting to pick that up in the last year or so, is that this community here, this group of us here, it's not about just having a little club that we meet together with on a Sunday. Even though coming together is important and worshiping together is important, and hopefully you find it encouraging to come each week rather than that other pastor who doesn't want to come because he hasn't got that self security. He's worried about everybody and what they think of him, you know. But our community here, us together here, when we come to know that transforming power of Jesus in our lives, when we have his Holy Spirit come to live in us, it's not just so that we can have a club together, is it? It's so that we then can become transformers of society. It's got to be. It's got to be that. And if you think back over the last few hundred years, the key areas of our society here, particularly in Britain, that have been changed: the health service, the education system, the abolition of slavery, all of these key things that you and I think are wonderful things, they were driven by people whose lives have been transformed by Jesus. There was lots of other people involved. But you know, when we think of the transformation of our society, it's us that need to be at the heart of those things, isn't it? And I want us just to reflect on that a little bit today. You know, about our lives being transformed by the cross. But why? Just so we've got a ticket to get out of here? No. So that we've got power in our lives and in our community here so we can transform where we live and we can transform the society around us. Transformation. If you've got a Bible, let's just have a quick look at Romans and chapter 12. There are quite a few places, aren't there, in the New Testament that talk about this transformation. I mean, in Corinthians, it talks about if anybody is in Jesus, he is a new creation, a new person, a transformed person. This lovely version that I'm reading at the moment, this Passion Translation, reads those verses like this. If anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new, and God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself and given us the ministry of reconciliation. There's one or two other places, Ephesians and chapter 4. Verse 22 has a similar kind of thing. He has taught you to let go of the old lifestyle, the old self, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that spring from delusions. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within, as your new life, and you live in union with him. And that theme, that kind of stream goes right the way through this New Testament. If you belong to Jesus, if your life has been changed by him, you have a brand new life that has been transformed. Romans and chapter 12, my title here is subtitled The Transforming Power of the Gospel. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's mercy? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifice. Live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of the culture around you. I like that. I'll read that again. Stop imitating, following the ideals and the opinions of the culture around you. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern what God's will is as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. We all want to do that, don't we? We want to live lives that are beautiful. We want to live lives that make a difference. How do we do that? Well, we need to know what God's will is for our lives. And how do we know what God's will is? By this being changed, by your mindset being changed, by your opinions, by your value systems being changed. That's why we have spent so long. I know I keep ranting on about it, but this document here that we published last year, you know, it should be by the side of your bed. It should be on the kitchen ward, the wall. It should be on your fridge. This is not just made up stuff. This is it's good. It's good stuff. What are we about here? What's our vision? Do you remember what it is? What's the first line of our vision? Who can remember it? You see, you've not been reading it, have you? Now, I know it's kind of not fashionable to memorize things and stuff like that. I am honestly, seriously at the moment, thinking about trying to memorize the Gruffalo story. Now, those of you who haven't got grandchildren or haven't had children or whatever, you won't know what I'm talking about. There's a great book called The Gruffalo. And honestly, I nearly read it every day to Emmanuel. And I just love it. And I like the flow of it. I like the rhythm of the words. And I keep thinking, you know what? I'd love to be able to memorize this story and just stand in front of a group of children and tell it. You know what I mean? Like sort of just enact it out rather than just read it from a book. So I am serious. That's one of my little plans this year. I've achieved one of my plans, making some Seville marmalade the other day. That was one of my tasks for this year. Because that two-week period when Seville oranges are in booze, they just goes like that, doesn't it? If you don't get them now, they'll be gone in a couple of weeks. So those of you thinking about making some marmalade, get them now before they disappear. I've done one of those sort of things, but one of the other things is to try and memorize the Gruffalo. But what about trying to memorize this? I'd said to you the other week, didn't I? You know, if somebody stops you in booths or somewhere and says, well, what do you do at your church? What's your church about? Why do you go there every Sunday? Well, what would you say to them? And they say, well, what's your vision for the next few years? Well, would you know what to say? Our vision is for people to encounter Jesus. Even if you can't remember anything else, that's a good start, isn't it? Yeah? What's your church about? It's about clubs. No. It's about, you know, having fun. No. What is it about? What's the primary thing? It's about meeting Jesus, isn't it? You can remember that as you go away today. That's two things you need to remember today then. One, this is about the power of love, not the... And what's the second thing you need to remember? We're about meeting Jesus here, aren't we? That's our vision. I'm not trying to embarrass you, and I'm not trying to make you feel awkward or anything like that. I'm speaking to myself as much as anything. I need to memorize this document just so that I can live it, not just so I can memorize it for the sake of it. Love God, love people, love all that God loves. Now, you see, one of the things on our core values here is we believe in the goodness of God who calls us, each of us, but as a group as well, to be transformed and to partner in the transformation of society. Now, are you into that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that that is what one of our values is here? That you and I are being transformed by the goodness and the love of God, but then we are then to be part of transforming the society around us. And how do we do that? Well, we need to have our minds changed. We need to have our attitudes changed. We need to have our opinions changed and transformed. Because if you're like me, there are lots of those things that still lie and lurk beneath the surface. You only have to scratch me a little bit, and suddenly I start to think, oh, you know what? My attitude to others sometimes is not the best. You know, and I think we all know that, don't we? We all, yeah. I love telling stories about blondes. you know, but I know it's not politically correct to do that. And I'm not going to tell you any. I've got some really funny ones I could tell you. But, you know, the thing is, you think, is that the right thing to be doing? Should I be telling stories about Irish people or about blondes or about this or about that? And inside, I know that it's not really quite right to do that, is it? Because what you're doing all the time is it's the us and them kind of attitude, isn't it, that you're developing. And we all need to put our hands up and say that in our thinking and in our minds, quite often we have this us and them kind of approach to lots of things in life. Man United, for example. You know, I can't help it. I don't like them. I really don't. Now, whether that's because I am a Liverpool supporter, I don't know. But do you know what I mean? I'm being slightly frivolous there, but we do all have these kind of things that are lurking there. Paul, when he's writing to the Romans here, says you need to be transformed. Now, the interesting thing is, I know we sometimes blind you with Greek and stuff like that. He's the worst one for doing it. Have you heard this little Greek word called meta? Have you heard this little Greek word called morphosis, you know? Metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. That's the word that's used here. Now, you know that word, don't you? What do we often think of when we think of metamorphosis? Butterflies. Meta means after or beyond. A morph, the kind of idea of formation. After formation. Beyond the formation. You know, we need to be metamorphosized. Is that the right word? Did I say that properly there? We need this metamorphosis. That's the word that Paul chose there in the Greek culture where he was. You know, we need to be renewed. We need to be transformed, we say, but he used the word metamorphosis. I like that. I like that idea that we're not going to be fat little caterpillars just feeding ourselves all the time. And we're all the same. We all love to feed. I'm talking about spiritually as well. Oh, give me a Bible study here. Oh, I need a bit of this here, a bit of the word here. We keep feeding ourselves. What we need to get to the point is we actually become a butterfly. And we start flying around and start blessing the world with our color and our beauty, don't we? You know, I think so many of us have spent years feeding ourselves like caterpillars. But what we need is this metamorphosis. We need this transformation so that we become butterflies. Yes? Does that make sense? We need to go beyond. That's what that word means there, you see. Beyond. Meta. Beyond. And what I want us to do just for this last 5 or 10 minutes today is try and just stir all of us up, myself included. Let's try and start to think beyond where we are now. Because if we take that seriously, if our lives are being transformed, if we are being metamorphosized, what for? What are we going beyond to? What are we going to be involved in transforming? See where I'm going? See, partnership in transformation. So we need our minds changing. We need our attitudes changing. And for that, we obviously need to just keep feeding ourselves on the word. But it needs to go beyond that. It's not just about feeding. It's about feeding for a purpose. It's about feeding to be changed. It's about feeding to be metamorphosized so that we can become spiritual butterflies and get flying around and blessing people. So let's just think for a moment in terms of this partnership. We believe in the goodness of God who calls us to be transformed and to partner in the transformation of society. Displaying God's character and nature revealed through the life, the teaching, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. We want to see everyone flourishing in both their natural and spiritual gifts, to share responsibility for and be involved in the life of the church. Here's this nice little phrase here. Open to innovative ways of embodying the good news of Jesus in a rapidly changing world. This is good stuff, isn't it? Hey, I wonder who wrote this. All right, let's just stop for a moment then. Let's think about our society here. You know, it's nice to think about India. It's nice to think about other parts of the world which have needs. Of course it is. We want to be global citizens. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Not make disciples and pull them out of the nations. Disciple the nations. There's a subtle difference there. It's not about going to a nation and discipling a few people and getting them out of there. It's about going to nations, discipling people so that they can change the nation. Is that right? Now that is happening in some countries around the world. I was listening to some stories the other day about Mozambique, which is, and the society there is changing because of the Christians who are involved there. The whole nation is starting to change. You know, when Jesus said go into all the world, he wasn't just sort of like to pick a few people here and there. He wants us to be salt and light and change things in our communities. So let's just think here about our own society. What kind of an area here do we want? Well, we want justice, don't we, in our society? Yes? We want fairness. Do we see fairness in our neighborhood here? Just stop for a moment. Can you think of things that would be unfair in our society here where we live? Anybody? Do you think it's a level playing field for getting jobs for young people, for example? So if you're 18, can you get a job in this area? If you're 21 and you've just got married, can you buy a house in this area? I'll tell you what, it's not easy. All these companies keep saying, we'll build some starter homes for young people. I haven't seen many recently, have you? There's lots of 4 and 5 bedroom houses that are 300,000, but there's not many starter homes, is there? Fairness. I mean, there's lots of different ways we could be fair. Honesty. Healthy. Do we live in a healthy community generally? Could we be doing more on that? Safe. I think we generally live in quite a safe community, don't we? Which is wonderful. Do we live in an inspiring community? Do you drive, when you drive around the village, you think, I love living here. I get so excited living here. Yeah? I tell you what, when you've lived in some places where we've lived, you do get excited when you live here. What other things would you like to see around here? Now, I'm just going to dream for a minute now. And some of these might be realistic, some of them might not be realistic. But what I want you to do over the next couple of weeks is I want you to dream. I want you to think, Lord, is there some things in our community here where I could get involved and make a difference and be a transformer, be a butterfly, change things in our community. The same way that Jan and Duncan and John are going over to Nairobi and they're making a difference there, aren't they? Have you been reading the reports and things? People have got water there that they didn't have before. They can make an income from things that they couldn't do before. They're starting to grow things that they couldn't do before. They're making a difference there. What I'm just saying is, yes, great there, but are there things here that you and I should be getting involved with to make a difference as well? That's what I'm saying. Can you see that? Transforming. Practical ideas. I have always, and I know Linda doesn't join me on this one, but I want to see some kind of cafe in this area where people can just go and read books and find help and counseling. And do you know what I mean? That's sort of something like a drop-in center or something, but a bit like a sort of glorified Costa Starbucks come. Yeah? Wouldn't you like to go somewhere like that? Was it really? Yeah. Well, isn't that interesting? I didn't know that. Health center. Eh? That's what she's worried about. You need to be getting out there now and getting on with the dishes there. Because I haven't seen anybody else going out yet. Look, health center. Look, that's scratching where we're itching at the moment, isn't it? We don't have a health center in Hesketh Bank, do we? Now, you know, we've got good doctors up there, but, you know, they're just building, I don't know how many new homes they're building here. We haven't got a GP in Hesketh Bank. That's not right, I don't think. Some kind of health community. You know, we've been dealing with people over the last few weeks with quite a lot of mental health issues. We're finding it very difficult to tap into resources and help. You know, now I'm not saying we need to open some kind of mental health center or whatever, but, you know, we've started on a Monday night having the group, the Mind Your Gap, that's London Underground, isn't it? Mind Your Head group, you know, for people. Mental health is becoming a growing situation in our society, isn't it? You know, what should we, is there anything else we can do on that front? Is there some kind of things that we could be looking at? Hospice, obviously there are hospices not too far from here, but care for the elderly, that's going to be growing more and more and more, isn't it, over the next 20 years. Maybe we should be tapping into that a little bit more. I mean, some of you are already involved in schools as governors. Some of you are involved in local politics. That's great. That's where we can make a difference and be transforming things. I'd love to see a little local theatre here. Anybody else with me on that one? I love the theatre. I love the arts. Have we got any, what did you call it, like art galleries here in Hesketh Bank or Tarleton? Have we? No? Maybe we should open one of those, I don't know. Some sort of craft centre, food bank. I don't think there's a food bank in Hesketh Bank, is there, or Tarleton? Not to my knowledge. There are people around this area, you know, we live in quite a nice area, but there are people who are poor, who struggle. People in debt. Wow. Are there people in debt in this area? I tell you what, there are. Have we got any debt counseling or debt help or stuff? I know there's some in Southport, but that seems a long way away, doesn't it? I tell you what, there's a lot of lonely people in Southport in this area as well. Lonely. That's a really big issue in our community, loneliness. Now, we do things here. It's not that we're not doing things. Please don't misunderstand me here. But I want you to think over this next few weeks and months about this whole partnering in transformation. You see what I'm saying? You know, if this means anything, you know, we can't just keep looking at it and thinking, oh, you know, that's lovely. Yeah, lovely. I believe in the cross and stuff. But it's got to make a difference in my day-to-day life, hasn't it? Who I'm dealing with, who I'm helping, who I'm ministering to. It's got to. Otherwise, it's just a load of nonsense. We've got to make a difference. We've got to be partnering together. We need each other. And that's what this gospel is all about. It's good news. It's got to be good news for our society and the people around us. Now, some of us have the privilege of doing that wider afield. That's great. But some of us are never going to be able to do that. But you can do it here, where you live, on the street where you live, with the neighbors where you live, with the shops that we're part of here. And I want some of you have got skills and talents that are lying a little bit dormant. And we need to see them coming into flame, stir them up a little bit. Get some bellows and start, you know, start to fan things into flame a little bit. Oh, well, I've been rambling on enough. Does that all make sense? So, two things to remember today. What were they again? This is about the power of love, not the love of power. And what was the other one? I've forgotten the second one myself already. What was? Eh? That's the one. Vision of values. I do actually have this by the side of my bed. Our vision is for people to meet Jesus, isn't it? To encounter Jesus. So let's remember that today and let's gradually work our way through. Hopefully by the end of the year we might know it all. And we might be living it all as well, some of it, yeah. Should we stand together? It's been good to see you. Let's close our eyes and Perhaps it's just one word, maybe one sentence, one thought, one idea, one concept that has just, you know, it's gone bang. You know, you felt it this morning. You thought, wow, yeah, that's me. That's for me this morning. Or whatever that is, just pray that into your life now. Say, Lord, thank you for speaking to me this morning about that. Thank you for your transforming love and power in my life. And help each of us, help me, help each of us to take that transforming power into the world in which we live, at work, at home, on our streets, in our neighborhood. And feed our imaginations, we pray, Father, as well, with how we can be part of that transformation of our society. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.